The bunkhouse was a long, rectangular building. Inside, the walls were whitewashed and the floor unpainted. In three walls, there were small, square windows, and in the fourth, a solid door with a wooden latch. Against the walls were eight bunks, five of them made up with blankets and the other three showing their burlap ticking. Over each bunk there was nailed an apple box with the opening forward, so that it made two shelves for the personal belongings of the occupant of the bunk. And these shelves were loaded with little articles, soap and talcum powder, razors, and those Western magazines ranchmen love to read and scoff at and secretly believe. And there were medicines on the shelves, and little vials, combs, and from nails on the box sides, a few neckties. Near one wall there was a black cast-iron stove, its stovepipe going straight up through the ceiling. In the middle of the room stood a big, square table littered with playing cards, and around it were grouped boxes for the players to sit on. At about 10 o'clock in the morning, the sun threw a bright, dust-laden bar through one of the side windows, and in and out of the beam flies shot like rushing stars. The wooden latch raised. The door opened, and a tall, stoop-shouldered old man came in. He was dressed in blue jeans, and he carried a big push-broom in his left hand. Behind him came George, and behind George, Lenny.
"The boss was expecting you last night," the old man said. "He was sore as hell when you wasn't here to go out this morning."
He pointed with his right arm, and out of the sleeve came a round, stick-like wrist, but no hand.
"You can have them two bunks there,"
he said, indicating two bunks near the stove. George stepped over and threw his blankets down on the burlap sack of straw that was a mattress. He looked into his box shelf and then picked a small yellow can from it. "Say, what the hell's this?"
"I don't know,"
said the old man. "Says positively kills lice, roaches, and other scourges. What the hell kind of beds you giving us anyways? We don't want no pants rabbits." The old swamper shifted his broom and held it between his elbow and his side while he held out his hand for the can. He studied the label carefully.
"Tell you what,"
he said finally.
"Last guy that had this bed was a blacksmith. Hell of a nice fella and as clean a guy as you want to meet. Used to wash his hands even after he ate."
"And how come he got graybacks?" George was working up a slow anger. Lenny put his bindle on the neighboring bunk and sat down. He watched George with open mouth.
"Tell you what,"
said the old swamper.
"This here blacksmith, named Whitey, was the kind of guy that would put this stuff around even if there wasn't no bugs. Just to make sure, see? Tell you what he used to do. At meals, he'd peel his boiled potatoes, and he'd take out every little spot, no matter what kind, before he'd eat it. And if there was a red splotch on an egg, he'd scrape it off. Finally quit about the food. That's the kind of guy he was. Clean. Used to dress up Sundays even when he wasn't going no place. Put on a necktie even, and then set in the bunkhouse."
"I ain't so sure," said George skeptically. "What'd you say he quit for?" The old man put the yellow can in his pocket, and he rubbed his bristly white whiskers with his knuckles.
"Why, he just quit, the way a guy will. Says it was the food. Just wanted to move, didn't give no other reason but the food. Just says, 'Give me my time one night, the way any guy would.'"
George lifted his tick and looked underneath it. He leaned over and inspected the sacking closely. Immediately, Lenny got up and did the same with his bed. Finally, George seemed satisfied. He unrolled his bindle and put things on the shelf, his razor and a bar of soap, his comb and a bottle of pills, his liniment and leather wristband. Then he made his bed up neatly with blankets. The old man said,
"I guess the boss will be out here in a minute. He was sure burned when you wasn't here this morning. Come right in when we was eating breakfast and says, 'Where the hell's them new men?' You give the stable buck hell, too."
George patted a wrinkle out of his bed and sat down. "Give the stable buck hell?" he asked.
"Sure. You see, stable buck's a nigger."
"Nigger, huh?"
"Yeah. Nice fella, too. Got a crooked back where a horse kicked him. The boss gives him hell when he's mad, but the stable buck don't give a damn about that. He reads a lot and got books in his room."
"What kind of guy is the boss?" George asked.
"Well, he's a pretty nice fella. Gets pretty mad sometimes, but he's pretty nice. Tell you what. Know what he done Christmas? Bring a gallon of whiskey right in here and says, Drink hearty, boys. Christmas comes but once a year.
Hell, he did. A whole gallon?
Yes, sir. Jesus, we had fun. They let the nigger come in that night. Little Skinner name of Smitty took after the nigger. Done pretty good, too. Guys wouldn't let him use his feet, so the nigger got him. If he could have used his feet, Smitty said he would have killed the nigger. The guy said on account of the nigger's got a crooked back, Smitty can't use his feet.
He paused in relish of the memory.
After that, the guys went into Soledad and raised hell. I didn't go in there. I ain't got the poop no more.
Lenny was just finishing making his bed. The wooden latch raised again and the door opened. A little stocky man stood in the open doorway. He wore blue jean trousers, a flannel shirt, a black unbuttoned vest, and a black coat. His thumbs were stuck in his belt on each side of a square steel buckle. On his head was a soiled brown Stetson hat, and he wore high-heeled boots and spurs to prove he was not a laboring man. The old swamper looked quickly at him, and then shuffled to the door, rubbing his whiskers with his knuckles as he went.
"Them guys just come,"
he said, and shuffled past the boss and out the door. The boss stepped into the room with the short, quick steps of a fat-legged man. "I wrote Murray and Reddy I wanted two men this morning. You got your work slips?" George reached into his pocket and produced the slips and handed them to the boss. "Wasn't Murray and Reddy's fault. Says right on the slip you're supposed to be here for work this morning." George looked down at his feet. "Bus driver give us a bum steer," he said. "We had to walk 10 miles. Says we was here when we wasn't. Couldn't get no rides this morning." The boss squinted his eyes. "Well, I had to send out the grain team short 2 buckers. Won't do any good to go out now till after dinner." He pulled his time book out of his pocket and opened it where a pencil was stuck between the leaves. George scowled meaningfully at Lenny, and Lenny nodded to show that he understood. The boss licked his pencil. "What's your name?"
"George Milton."
"What's yours?" George said. "His name's Lenny Small." The names were entered in the book. "Let's see. This is the 20th. Noon the 20th. He closed the book. "Where you boys been working?"
"Up round Weed," said George.
"You too?"
To Lenny.
"Yeah, him too,"
said George.
The boss pointed a playful finger at Lenny. "He ain't much of a talker, is he?"
"No, he ain't. But he's sure a hell of a good worker. Strong as a bull."
Lenny smiled to himself.
"Strong as a bull,"
he repeated. George scowled at him, and Lenny dropped his head in shame at having forgotten. The boss said suddenly, "Listen, Small." Lenny raised his head. "What can you do?" In a panic, Lenny looked at George for help.
"He can do anything you tell him," said George. "He's a good skinner. He can wrestle grain bags, drive a cultivator. He can do anything. Just give him a try."
The boss turned on George.
"And why don't you let him answer? What you trying to put over?"
George broke in loudly.
"Oh, I ain't saying he's bright. He ain't. But I say he's a goddamn good worker. He can put up a 400-pound bale."
The boss deliberately put the little book in his pocket. He hooked his thumbs in his belt and squinted one eye nearly closed.
"Say, what you selling?"
"Huh?"
"I said, what stake you got in this guy? You taking his pay from him?"
"No, of course I ain't." "Why, you think I'm selling him out?"
"Well, I never seen one guy take so much trouble for another guy. I just like to know what your interest is."
George said,
"He's my cousin. I told his old lady I'd take care of him. He got kicked in the head by a horse when he was a kid. He's all right, just ain't bright. But he can do anything you tell him."
The boss turned half away.
"Well, God knows he don't need any brains to buck barley bags. But don't you try to put nothing over, Milton. I got my eye on you.
Why'd you quit and Weed?"
"Job was done,"
said George promptly.
"What kind of job?"
We was digging a cesspool."
"All right. But don't try to put nothing over, 'cause you can't get away with nothing. I seen wise guys before. Going out with the grain teams after dinner. They're picking up barley at the threshing machine. Go out with Slim's team. Slim? Yeah. Big, tall Skinner. You'll see him at dinner.
He turned abruptly and went to the door, but before he went out, he turned and looked for a long moment at the two men.